Good morning, welcome to my first podcast episode. I still don't have a name for it, that will come later, hopefully. This is a new challenge to me, so I know I have much to learn. I'm open to criticism, so I can do better next time. Today, topic, I will speak about my journey across text editors. So, this journey starts maybe 12 years ago when I was on Windows at the university. I was starting to write Python by myself before using Linux. The only choice I had at this time was Notepad, which came with Windows. It was a pretty bad editor. You have no syntax highlighting, no column display, no line number display, nothing. It's bad. Don't use it. I found something named Site with a S and C capital. It was a lot better for me. I could have bindings and buttons to run defined commands like the Python interpreter. I remember I was writing image manipulation, like inverting a picture or filters. Well, not interesting, but I started with this. Then, once I start using Linux, BSD, and Solaris too, I found myself with Vi and Vim. I was totally lost at first, so I found some documentation to use it. How to insert text, how to exit, how to save, how to move a line. I think most people start from there. I did start from there too. I'm no exception. Then, after my some Python experiment, at university I start learning Java and C++ and writing projects. Then I was using NetBeans. Now, I wouldn't choose this, but at the time, it was a really good idea for me. My computer was running Solaris or Open Solaris. I don't really remember. Java was not easy to use in command line. I wasn't confident a lot in command line. So I was using NetBeans. It was creating the whole project. I had button to start my apps. I could design a window layout too. It was really perfect to have a good mark at exams. Perfect for that. When I had to deal with text files, because you know you need text files sometimes. I was using gedit, the GNOME text editor, and for LaTeX files, because I was using LaTeX, I was using something named Kyle. I think it was a graphical editor to help writing LaTeX. Then, after university, I worked as a system administrator because it's what I wanted to do in my life for now. At start, I've been using Vim on the remote servers and my own computer. I've been learning a bit more in Vim. Sometimes you need like to add some text at the same place in multiplied. It's often named rectangular insert. That's not the thing you learn at first. Then, after a few months, I've been thinking, I don't know Emacs. All I've read is either it's a super awesome program, or you need to be an octopus to use it. So I decided to make my own opinion about it. I installed it, removed Vim. I also made alias in my shell. So when I was using Vi or Vim, it would call Emacs instead. So I couldn't escape it. I made a small sheet of paper on the wall next to my desk. And each time I was learning a new command, very important, like how to save, how to quit, how to make a copy past. I was writing down on the sheet. After a week, I was able to use Emacs. So, perfect. Now I can say Emacs is a perfect text editor. But it's not only a text editor. It has also lot of programs you can run within Emacs, the editors being one of them. For a few years, I've been using Emacs for literally everything. IRC, sending emails, receiving emails, making diagrams, organizing myself. Even it has been my window manager too. But then I thought it was too much and I needed to take things back to normal, like one tool for one job. Of course, Emacs can do that. Emacs is like a Java runtime. You have a lot of programs and Emacs runs them, but Emacs run all of them within the same Emacs. If you use multiple Emacs instances, it's not really made for this at all. Like for security concerns, it's a bad idea to read your world news in the same program that will connect to SSH to remote servers for editing text, and so on. So I moved away from Emacs. I don't use it anymore now. But if you like the Emacs text editor itself, you can also find similar editors in JED or Zile, which are lightweight text editor looking like Emacs. Now I use Cocoon. I moved recently from Vim to Cocoon because I like change. Cocoon works like Vim because it has an insert and command mode. But the whole spirit about Cocoon is using selection to run your commands. For example, in Vim, if you want to delete a word, you type D for delete, then you choose W for word. In Cocoon, you can select a word or line or what you want, and then you use D command to delete that selection. This is a bit mind-blowing at first because you are not used to that, but after some time, it's so much more comfortable and logical that you first select what you want to work on, then you do the command on that selection. If you want to learn more about Cocoon, you should visit the website which explains everything Cocoon is. Question from the community. So Paul Gatling asks me, what do you think the role of computing should be playing in society? I think we do too much things with our computers. Like in Harry Potter, they do too much with magic. I have an example in my head where some character use magic to set up a table and then someone say, maybe it's easier if you just take the fork and put it on the table. So we don't need computers absolutely for everything. Sometimes you can just take a notepad and a pen. It will be so much more comfortable, easier, ecological too. One major problem, in my opinion, for now is that people should be taught how a computer works, so you remove that magic factor, and maybe some basic programming skills wouldn't harm too. I've met too many people who have no clue about their computer, which they use daily at work and then at home. They rely on the IT team, which do black magic to fix the stuff. So some education is needed here. I don't know if a younger generation are more comfortable with computers, Maybe not, because there will be more about smartphones and tablets where you can do nothing except consuming. A computer shouldn't be about consuming. It's a tool. You use tool for goals. Finally, I really think free software are fundamental to stay free, because if you have something that works, that you like, then nobody should tell you that you have to replace your computer. I know people that use the same computer since 15 years, and there is no reason to change this. With open source, you can continue to make your own stuff to work on an up-to-date system. So, for example, if someone has an old Apple PowerPC computer, you can still do recording your voice, sending mails, watching video, listening to music, everything using modern hardware in USB, for example. So this is important to stay free on your computer. There is a question from Setchu. How did you become an OpenBSD developer and what drew you to it? Here is a short story. On my computer at work, I moved from FreeBSD to OpenBSD a few years ago, maybe more than a few years now, but I enjoyed it a lot. It was very nice. Just install it, it works. Then I start sending diffs to the mailing list. So a diff is you take the original source, you make a change, then you create a difference file between the original and your version of the file. Then you send that diff to the mailing list. Willing people will download it and apply that diff to their local source. And then they can use the change. So when it comes to a new program, for example, you send everything from scratch, because the original file is DevNull. I've sent a few new software in the post at first and start regularly sending diffs. Then I've been really lucky because a hackathon happens next to my place where I lived. So I've been able to attend it. After a few days, I've been asked if I wanted to join. And I said yes. I really enjoy being in the team because it's a lot of very interesting and cool people. For the project-wise, the contribution process is very easy. You just send diff over a mailing list. You can do easier than that. Voilà. I know I'm not very active. I have only a few commits by month, mostly on video games, so it's not, I would say, very important work, because if games don't work, that won't delay a release, for example. But I'm also happy I've put in place the stable package infrastructure to provide up-to-date binary package for updates between releases. This was a criticism. I've read too much on IRC, and people were complaining a lot that OpenBSD was advertising itself as secure, but you had no package updates at all. Only the regular updates every 6 months. It's been like 1 year now that stable package are available, and I'm very happy to see it works flawlessly. It gets delivered in time every time. So I'm happy to have bring something to the project and that it benefits everyone. This concludes the first episode. So thank you for listening to me, and I hope to see you next time.